Hey, good morning, everyone. Thank you for being here today and taking time during this holiday season to come and worship with your church family. This is such an important thing we do every Sunday, and to have this opportunity together, I know, certainly encourages me during the holiday season. I hope you had a great Christmas. I heard from a lot of the kids that they had a great Christmas and saw a lot of parents who were really tired trying to get caught up on rest, but glad you're here and hope you are ready to launch in to a new year. It's been a fun morning already with our breakfast earlier. Many of you came out for that, and now to worship and all that we've been led in through song and to study God's Word together. Let me encourage you as we move toward the conclusion of 2019 to think about and pray about your end of the year giving. Many times we look back and see how the Lord has blessed us and make some final adjustments at the end of the year, and we want to encourage you to get those gifts in by the close of business in 2019. So help us to continue to fund our mission and do all that God has called us to do. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word. We thank you that we can be here today as a church family for all the rich blessings we enjoy as we celebrate holiday experiences, exchanging gifts, and sharing time around the table. Father, we're so thankful for all the material blessings you pour out upon us. And more so, Father, we thank you for the spiritual gifts you've given to us, the greatest gift, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And God, help us to be mindful today that our salvation through Christ is not of ourselves, and that can give us confidence knowing that salvation is secure in Jesus. And help us toward that end as we have this conversation today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me ask you a question as we begin today. Are you 100% absolutely sure that when you draw your last breath on earth, you will go to heaven? Do you have that certainty today that heaven is your future home? Perhaps you feel like in your life there's no way to know for sure, no way to have certainty about eternal life, that you will not know until you die whether or not you made it to heaven. For a lot of people, and certainly for a number of people, I'm sure, in this room today, there is that continual struggle to understand whether or not I am truly saved. Will I, with certainty, 100% go to heaven when I die? We deal with these types of doubts and questions about our salvation. Was I truly saved? Did I truly mean it? I was so young when I made that decision. I was prompted by mom or dad. I went forward at church on a Sunday revival because my friends were doing that. And we have these questions that linger, these doubts about whether or not we are saved. Maybe today that's your struggle. You won't tell anyone about it because you're too embarrassed. It's too personal and private and too overwhelming for you, and so you never settled the issue. But I want you to see today that the Bible gives us an assurance of our salvation. And the Bible presents to us that the Lord wants us to have that assurance, to possess that confirmation in our hearts that when we die, we can know that eternal life belongs to us. Let me begin with 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life, so that you may know today that you have eternal life. In other words, that you can know with certainty that heaven belongs to you. And some of us today need to settle that issue. You've wrestled with it for so many years, and once and for all, you need to leave this place today knowing that your salvation is secure in Jesus Christ, to have that renewed confidence in your faith. This is so very important because without an assurance of salvation, our walk with the Lord is greatly affected. We will never live a victorious life without assurance of salvation. We'll spend our entire lives asking the question, am I really saved? Am I going to heaven? And that's so heart-wrenching to go through that deep struggle. And some of you have been wrestling with that type of issue for so long, and it's just turning your world upside down. If we don't settle this issue of assurance of salvation, we're going to feel like we're going through the trials of life on our own. Without an assurance of salvation, we won't have that confidence that God is with us no matter what we're going through. And we'll feel like we're bearing all the weight of the world on our shoulders without the Lord's help. Without the assurance of salvation, we'll struggle to find the joy the Lord wants to give to us. In your life, you're not going to be enthusiastic about your faith and enthusiastic about what the Lord wants to do in your life because you're not sure if the Lord is even in your life. Without an assurance of salvation, you'll never effectively serve the Lord. You'll be serving the Lord in an attempt maybe to try to prove to God that you're a Christian. You'll serve the Lord in a way that you're trying to somehow please Him and get an assurance of your salvation. It'll be driven with that wrong motivation. Or because you're not sure of your salvation, you'll not serve the Lord at all. D.L. Moody made this strong but very powerful statement. He's that great evangelist of a century ago. He said, "I've never seen a Christian who doubted his salvation who was worth anything in the service of Christ." And that's how we can end up if we're not sure that we are saved. We're doing it to try to earn favor with God, or we don't serve at all because we don't feel like we can. Are you struggling today with whether or not you are saved? Listen, don't feel alone in that struggle. Again, a lot of people have those same feelings. It's not uncommon to have questions about our salvation. It's one of the devil's tools he uses to discourage us and to convince us to give up living for God. So today I want to challenge us to make it our goal to stop letting this issue haunt us, to settle our doubts once and for all, because it's not God's will for you to constantly wonder if you are saved. The Lord wants you to find true salvation that is secure and cannot be taken away. Today, we can find that type of security and leave with confidence that we are children of God through several ways we discover in Scripture. How can you be sure that you are saved? First of all, through the work of God. Many of you at Christmas time play this game. It's called different things: White Elephant, Yankee Swap, Dirty Santa. And you buy the gag gifts and you draw a number and you pick a gift and somebody else can come by and steal your gift and it turns into a family feud because we all know that family gatherings aren't controversial enough. Let's throw a game into it that makes everybody mad. So we were playing this game the other day, and a couple of years ago I gave Cindy this big candle. It was a Christmas gift last Christmas, and it had a very distinctive box. It was purple, this white other box with some cutouts on it. We're playing this game just last week with her family, and someone takes the gift from the center of the room. They open it up and they pull out this candle. And I thought, wait a minute, that looks familiar. Hey, I gave you that last Christmas. She re-gifted my gift. Rule number one, if you re-gift, don't do it in the presence of the one who gave you the gift. Now, in fairness to her, it was one of those panic moments last year when I was behind in my Christmas shopping, like always, and I grabbed this candle, and after I bought it, it was stinking up the house. I realized I didn't make a very good choice. It wasn't the best-smelling candle, so it was a good thing to re-gift. It smelled like great bubble gum. It just wasn't a very pleasant smell for the house. But here's the thing. God has given to you a gift, the gift of salvation, and with it, peace that comes, assurance that comes. And God doesn't want you to give away that gift that's been given to you. He wants you to take hold today of the assurance of your salvation, the certainty that you belong to the family of God. The candle I bought was not the greatest gift. Thankfully, it wasn't her only gift that year. It wasn't the most expensive gift. It was just a candle from Home Goods or TJ Maxx or somewhere. It was probably discounted because, again, it didn't smell that great. But the gift that God has given to us is not some cheap, inexpensive gift. It is a gift of a value that cannot even be calculated. What God has done to us, given to us, it's no insufficient sacrifice. The death of Jesus on the cross for your sins was completely, totally sufficient for your salvation. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 4. Pay attention to this verse. For by one offering, Jesus being that offering, dying on the cross, the propitiation for our sin, the payment for our sin, Jesus Christ, that Lamb without blemish, the perfect sacrifice, that one offering, by it he has perfected what? Forever. Those who are sanctified. When you accepted Christ, when you believe that he was the sacrifice for your sins, Jesus became your offering that was forever. Not for a moment, not till you didn't feel saved anymore, not until questions came into your mind. You can't take away that salvation. That offering is forever for those who are sanctified. It is the Lord's work that brings about your salvation. It's not what you've done. It's not what you haven't done. It's not that you've been baptized or go to church or volunteer in the community or even volunteer in the church. It's not based on how good you're living or how bad you're living, how holy you've been or how sinful you've been. It's not based on any of that. It's based on the finished work of Jesus Christ who died on the cross for your sins. He is the offering, and he perfects forever those who have been sanctified, those who have believed on Jesus Christ. Oftentimes we struggle with salvation because of our own sin. We question if we're saved because of what we've done in our past or even in our present. We start to wrestle through whether or not we could truly be saved because of the things we've done in our lives. We start to question whether or not our salvation experience was genuine. But listen carefully, his one sacrifice was able to conquer all of your sin. And your works, whether good or bad, have no bearing whatsoever on your salvation. Now, that doesn't give us a license to sin, as Paul made the case in Romans. Do we continue to sin so that grace may increase? By no means. We don't just continue to live a life of sin, but because of Christ in us, we're motivated to live a holy life, but it doesn't affect our salvation. Your works, good or bad, have no bearing on whether or not you are saved. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For you are saved by grace through faith, and this not from yourselves. Your behavior didn't get you into the family of God in the first place. It is God's gift, not from works. Not good, not bad, so that no one can boast. You didn't become a Christian by your own power. You don't sustain your salvation in your own power, your own behavior. It's all from Christ. Romans chapter 4, verse 5. But to the one who does not work, but believes on him who declares the ungodly to be righteous. See, you're ungodly anyway. You're dead in your sin and trespasses. You can't be good enough to earn salvation because you are a sinner separated from God, and nothing you can do can save you because you are ungodly. And God declares the ungodly to be righteous. His faith is credited for righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the person to whom God credits righteousness apart from works, blessed are those whose lawless acts are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the person the Lord will never charge with sin. Your salvation has never been based on your works, good or bad. It is your belief in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Now, when you sin, you're convicted, you're disciplined. God brings that reproach in your life, but salvation is secure because his death on the cross made us perfect. How long? According to Scripture, forever. In the eyes of God, because of the sacrifice of Christ, you are forever made perfect and holy. How can we know we are saved? Because of the work of God, the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. Number two, how can we know that we are saved? Through the promises of God. When you believe on Jesus Christ as your only hope for salvation, nothing separates you from the Lord. Let me point you to a familiar passage in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 35. I want you to notice this exhaustive list of things that cannot separate you from God's love. There's 17 things listed here in Romans chapter 8 that cannot pull you away from your salvation, that cannot extract you from the family of God, things that cannot have any effect on your salvation. Verse 35, who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? Jumping down to verse 38, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. Nothing, in other words. You put it in the list, whatever you can think of, none of it can separate you from the salvation you have in Christ. None of that will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus reiterates this idea in John chapter 6, verse 37. Everyone the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will never cast out. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that is what? Imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. Let me encourage you today. Your salvation is not based on how you feel. It is based on His promises. You know, the reason so many people wrestle with doubt is because they're looking for a feeling that is associated with salvation. I just don't feel like I'm a Christian. I don't feel saved. I don't feel like I have salvation. And those feelings start to drive the experience of salvation. And listen, there are a lot of times I don't feel very saved. But my salvation is not based on how I feel. And when we base it on feelings, we're making a terrible mistake. Because there are going to be a lot of days we don't feel very saved. I learned long ago, someone told me that the order of things in our salvation are based first on fact, then on faith, then last on feeling. Think of it like a train. The locomotive is the fact that we are saved. We know that we are saved. Why? Because of what Christ has done for us. We're saved based on the facts of Scripture, the facts of Christ's sacrifice. That's why we are saved. Of second-tier importance, undergirding that, is our faith that we are saved. We have faith that God has saved us through Jesus Christ. We have placed our faith in God's salvation. And then lastly, and least important in the equation, is that we feel saved. Because the feelings of salvation are going to vary with life circumstances, right? I mean, you leave today, you go out in the parking lot, you have a fender bender, it's your fault, your insurance is going to go up, you messed up your wife's car, whatever the case, you're going to leave that experience frustrated, discouraged. In that moment, you're not going to feel the joy of the Lord filling your body. Instead, you're going to feel discouraged. All of life's experiences make our feelings go up and down. We find assurance of salvation because of the promises of God. God has promised our salvation is secure. Now, the third thing is the power of God. We can be sure we are saved because of the power of God. Let me ask you this question. As you struggle with whether or not you're really saved, have you lost your salvation? Did somehow it diminish and dissipate and go away? What is so strong that could take away your salvation? Your sin can't do it. We talked about that. Paul said there's no person or thing that can take it away. Not even the devil can take away your salvation. Because think about it. If he could, he would. And if he hasn't, you have to ask the question, hasn't the devil been good to me? Now that makes for a strange theology. You've now been saved by the grace of the devil. He hasn't taken away your salvation. The devil can't even take away your salvation. Nothing and no one can take it away. Listen to John chapter 10 and notice here the powerful grip of an omnipotent God on your life and mine. Listen as Jesus speaks beginning in verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. As we go through the holiday season and Andrew's home from college and those kind of things, I'm mindful of how quickly the years have passed as my kids move into adulthood and independence, which is A-OK as I get them off the payroll. But on the other side of that, I think back to those younger years and Christmases and when they were little things, and we would walk along different places in town, wherever, and I would hold their hand as we walked along. And sometimes they would reach up and take hold of my hand, and I would take their hand in my grasp. And other times, for safety reasons, like around traffic and crowded places, I would reach out and grab their hand. And you know how it is with your kids or your grandkids. Sometimes they willingly hold your hand, and then it seems like in the most dangerous of circumstances, they want to pull and yank their arm away. But when you're holding that hand in that dangerous environment with traffic flying by, you have that death grip, don't you? You never let go. There's nothing that kid could do to pull away from your grip. They may want to, but I would never let them go. They might be prone to wander away. They might desire to run across a busy street, but nothing could cause them to escape my grip because I love them so much. Think about that with your loving Father. It's God's power that keeps your salvation safe and secure. As Jesus spoke of that double grip of God on you, nothing could snatch you out of the Lord's hand. Think back to the story of Noah's Ark. The Ark becomes a picture in Genesis of the salvation we have in Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. When Noah built the Ark, did he install any pegs on the outside of the ark and proclaim that the storm and the flood of God's judgment is coming? Now, if you'll just grab a hold of these pegs and hang on tight, and if you make it through the storm hanging on to the side of this giant ship, you'll be saved. No, he preached, get inside. The floods are coming. Judgment is on the way. Inside, you'll be safe and secure. Noah went into the ark. And it says in Genesis chapter 7 that God shut the door. God sealed up that boat. Safety, security, and salvation were found only inside the ark. Now, of course, Noah probably stumbled in the ark, but he never fell out of it. Today, your salvation is not dependent on you holding on to God. Not grasping on and holding on for dear life through the storms of life, hoping that in the end you're still holding on and you haven't lost your grip, but instead your salvation is based on being securely held by the power of an omnipotent God and knowing you're safe and secure inside the ark called Jesus. Today, my salvation is not based, thankfully, on my strength. I'm not holding on to Jesus. Jesus is holding on to me. And just as God sealed up that ark, God has sealed your salvation. And he's done it with his presence in your life in the person of the Holy Spirit. Let me give you a couple of more verses. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 and 14. In him you were also sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and when you believed, the Holy Spirit is the down payment of our inheritance until the redemption of the possession to the praise of his glory. He's your down payment. He's your assurance that the Lord is coming back for you. Thinking about Christmas, I recall when I was a kid, we had a Kmart in Warner Robins. Remember Kmart? And back in the day at Kmart, you put things on layaway. Either you couldn't afford it and you had to make payments on it, or you didn't have room for it and you were leaving it there until Christmas time and you would come back and pick it up, but you had to make a down payment, didn't you? To put something on layaway, you put some money down and you either made payments or come back, you would go back and make a final payment and get what belonged to you. It was set aside. And that's what our salvation is. We're living here on this earth. Our salvation is not complete, but God has put the down payment. He has given us the seal, the assurance of his presence, his Holy Spirit in our lives, guaranteeing what is later to come. The Holy Spirit is there to help us through all of our doubts, to give us comfort, to give us assurance of our salvation. Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies together with our spirit that we are God's children. God in you provides you the power to keep believing, to keep following, knowing that you are a child of God. Someone recounted about the Holy Spirit. Before I got saved, His presence called me. When I got saved, His presence cleansed me. When I'm in sin, His presence convicts me. When I continue in sin, His presence chastens me. When I'm in despair, His presence cheers me. When I'm brokenhearted, His presence comforts me. When I'm growing cold, His presence challenges me. When I begin to stray, His presence corrects me. When I'm filled with anger, His presence controls me. When I need to serve, His presence compels me. When I'm confused, His presence counsels me. But when I begin to doubt, His presence convinces me that I am a child of God. Today, if you doubt whether or not you are saved, I want to encourage you to do one of two things. First, if you think your faith commitment was insincere, be saved. Accept Christ today once and for all. As I heard someone say one time, I'd rather be saved twice than lost once. Quit doubting. Settle the issue today. Give your life fully and completely to Jesus Christ and move on. Stop living in defeat. Stop living in doubt. Have that assurance of salvation today. Perhaps that's the decision you need to make. On the other hand, if you feel like you did make a sincere decision to follow Christ at some time in the past, spend some time in 1 John. Take this week and read through it a few times and find the assurance that's given there. As I read earlier at the beginning of our sermon, 1 John 5:13, I've written these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. Find that assurance. God wants to give it to you today. So you no longer live in doubt, you no longer live in defeat, but you have assurance and victory in your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.